It's game time. And if you've got a hunch about this NBA season, you could turn it into a big win on FanDuel. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win.
Ooh, that guy's hotter than a microwave burrito.
Now that's a red-hot hunch.
21 plus and present in Ohio.
Must be first online real money wager. $5 deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Alcohol Action Ireland has today published their alcohol market review for 2022. And what it found was that the average drinker in Ireland consumed the equivalent of 235 cans last year. The report examines and looks at the scale of alcohol use in the country, as well as the financial rewards garnered by alcohol producers. And it found that an additional 11 bottles of spirits were consumed per drinker last year. Professor Frank Murray is chairman of Alcohol Action Ireland. Frank, we've been hearing figures like this now for a long time. Has the battle been lost?
That's an interesting question. So I'd say the battle and the war goes on, really, in terms of trying to reduce alcohol harm. The amount, actually, just to clarify, the amount of alcohol consumed is 200 per drinker in Ireland is 235 cans plus 11 bottles of spirits, plus 39 bottles of wine, plus 35 cans of cider. I mean, that's the quantity that the average drinker consumes, which is about 21 units or standard drinks per week.
Sorry, Frank. Because of the way the figures were delineated, my assumption was that 235 cans were representative of the total. Give us those numbers again. 235 cans plus?
Of beer. Plus 11 bottles of spirits, plus 39 bottles of wine, plus 35 cans of cider. So that's the average, that's what an average drinker drank. If you just look at all the sales across Ireland and divide it by drinkers, that's what it comes out to.
And that's working out, that's a bottle of spirits a month. That's about a bottle of wine a week-ish, you know, slightly once every 10 days. And then 270 odd cans of beer and cider on top of that.
Correct.
There will be people who hear it and say, well, you know, when you average it out, it's probably not that much. It's only 7 or 8 cans a week or 9 or 10 cans a week. So what harm?
Well, that's, you see, it's interesting, isn't it, how it's formulated in Ireland, because we have a kind of, we're slightly enthralled with the alcohol industry and we listen to the messages, because the messages they put out are everywhere, aren't they, really, in terms of advertising and marketing. So they spin it that alcohol fulfills our dreams and that it's associated with success in life and so on and so forth. But actually, that's not the truth. We know that working in the health service, we know that, you know, working as a liver doctor for 40 years, I've seen terrible harms as a result of alcohol. So that amount of consumption, really, to be honest, reflects a very unhealthy relationship between people in Ireland who drink and alcohol, which is very harmful. And in fact, the consequences of that, which are very well outlined in this document, which was put together by Eunan McKinney, who's our head of media, he's really drawn together a lot of the detail around the alcohol market itself and the consequences of it. So we know that, for instance, more than 1 in 10 of every euro spent at the health services spent dealing with the consequences of alcohol. So what we're seeing is what we've outlined in this document, really, is the alcohol consumed per drinker, which is, as you say, astonishing. And then the cost to the health service, which is astonishing. And if you put that in context, Anton, of, for instance, what's happening with the health service now with the unparalleled waiting lists and waiting times, we can't afford to continue to have a loss of opportunity to treat people, which is costing 1.9 billion, because we're spending that on the harms associated with alcohol.
And do you think it is, Frank, that people who drink to their own detriment, they effectively measure it by, can I function? If I'm able to deal with the rest of my life, if I can meet my commitments, whether they be work or family, well, then my drinking is okay.
Well, you see, I think it's a broader social issue than that. They're getting a message from the media that alcohol is a great thing. That's the myth that the alcohol industry puts out to us. They're not seeing the other harms until it's often too late. So, for instance, we know there are on average more than 4 deaths per day in Ireland. One of them is associated with the episode of drinking. It's people going out and being involved in an incident or an accident or a fight or taking their own lives. And then the other 3 are due to chronic diseases, particularly cancer and liver failure. So people don't put together the harms of alcohol, the drinking of alcohol, the use of it, and the harms associated with it. And in fact, one of the things that I think we fundamentally gotten wrong here, which we don't see in Canada, for instance, we sell alcohol beside food. It's sold in food stores. In Canada, you have to sell alcohol in specific premises which are licensed by the state and only sell alcohol. They don't sell food. So I think some people have blurred the line between a very harmful addictive substance, i.e. alcohol, and food, which is on sale in the supermarket and the food stores and the convenience stores. So I think, to answer your question directly, I don't think people often think of the harmful consequences of alcohol when they consume alcohol. And that's a real issue and a real problem. And if you look at some of the other data in this publication today, there is some fantastically interesting information. First of all, of the almost 600,000 people in the country who have a drink problem, only 3,000 got into some kind of a recovery program last year. So there's a huge mismatch between the harms of alcohol, individuals who need help, and our ability to help them.
Well, I want to focus a little bit on those harms, because with us as well is Dr. Mary Ryan, who's consultant endocrinologist and senior lecturer in the Bon Secours Barrington's Hospital in Limerick. Mary, the numbers that Frank gave us there, 1 in 10 of the cases presenting across the health system being in some way alcohol related. What are the kind of physical harms that you would see?
So the thing is, as Frank said, what we're talking here about is the excess use of alcohol. So the problem is that alcohol in excess can damage the brain, for example. It can cause atrophy of the brain cells and brain atrophy, which can be linked to dementia. It can also cause dilation of the heart, so it thins the heart muscle so that you can go into heart failure. And we see that, unfortunately, all too frequently, a condition called alcohol cardiomyopathy, where the heart muscle dilates and becomes thin, then less effective pushing blood around the body, and therefore heart failure. It can affect the stomach. It's associated with inflammation of the stomach, but also associated with stomach cancer. It can affect absorption of major vitamins in the stomach, like B12, vitamin B12 and B6, and that affects nerve function, and you can get loss of sensation, particularly in the feet, that can lead to ulcers. It can affect the pancreas, and it's associated with chronic pancreatitis, which is a condition that can be fatal, but also, it's associated with pancreas cancer. Frank has already told you about liver and the fact that 1.9 billion of our health budget is relating to alcohol, liver as well. Obviously, high blood pressure it can cause stroke. It can interfere with the brain, excess alcohol, because it can lower the blood sugar. So patients go into coma, but equally can cause seizure activity. So all of these are associations of excess alcohol. So I think, you know, the average patient should be on, man and woman, 14 units of alcohol a week, and we should have 2 alcohol-free days. But it's the excess alcohol that can cause this. And the acetaldehyde is the toxic metabolite that builds up, and that actually can, because it's very addictive if it's, you know, it's drank excessively. So the chronic buildup of acetaldehyde can basically just skip circuits in the brain, and that's what causes the addiction.
But
that's,
I bet, Mary, as you're talking, there will be people who are saying the kind of things that you're describing, the alcohol cardiomyopathy or the chronic pancreatitis or the stroke or anything, that they are things that happen to chronic, inveterate, lost cause alcoholics, and therefore the average drinker doesn't need to worry.
No, unfortunately, and we know this from data relating to the pandemic, that because people were at home, drinking in the home went up hugely. And we know that COVID pandemic, unfortunately, has increased alcohol consumption in the home, which at least it was regulated outside. But in the home, people are unaware of the amount of alcohol they're drinking. And data has shown is that people are drinking in excess. So if people are not aware of their alcohol consumption and they're drinking more frequently at home and way above what they should be, then everyone can have all the effects that we're saying. So it's not just the people that, you know, that you're seeing drunk. It's that person that's drinking in excess. It can slowly damage all those organs that I've listed. And we're all at risk once we go in excess, because that metabolite acetaldehyde, that's the one that's going to damage all those organs. And for some people, it could be, for example, women are at more risk, as Frank will tell you, of alcohol liver disease than men. So, and some it can be genetic. So some will get it faster than others, but all of us are at risk of all the diseases I mentioned relating to alcohol excess.
Are patients surprised when you diagnose them with these kind of conditions?
Yeah, in fact, I had one man recently who had alcohol cardiomyopathy only in his 40s. And, you know, when I challenged him, he couldn't believe, people are in denial, I think, because a lot of it is stress related. They're stressed because of lack of work or, you know, the pandemic was very, very hard on a lot of people. And what you're saying is just the pandemic, but that's one of the reasons. But this gentleman that unfortunately had alcohol cardiomyopathy relating to excess alcohol, what was quite shocked when I put to him, you know, this has to be, he was in denial, and that would be the normal first reaction. But then obviously when we put the evidence before him and show this is the only thing it could be, and we show him the echo, which is the ultrasound of the heart, and how ineffective the heart muscle is, then of course he has to face the truth. But yeah, people are in denial first. That's always the first reaction. But I really do think as a society, 24 million last year was put into alcohol advertising, and advertising gets into the subconscious. And as you said previously, it is, you know, we're hearing all about the good effects, but we also as a society need to educate the public on the bad effects of alcohol. And we're not at all downing the social, we want people to enjoy alcohol, but we want them to enjoy it sensibly. And it's very important that we tell them that alcohol in excess over the 14 units a week for men and women, try and have the 2 alcohol free days. Once you go over that, then you are at risk of all of the organ damage that I have spoken about. And in addition, there are links with excess alcohol to cancer of the pancreas, I've mentioned already, but bladder, prostate and womb and ovaries as well. And we too often hear about the good effects of red wine, which is good in moderation, but we need to educate the public that in excess, all alcohol can be damaging.
Can I go to that?
It's all about getting getting across the message to the public. It's
that thing of the message to the public. Frank, as chairman of Alcohol Action Ireland, can I ask you about the capacity to educate the public? Because we're in a situation where one of the most effective and vocal advocacy groups in the country is funded in large part by the drinks industry. Now, in a context like that, what hope is there of convincing people of the harms of alcohol?
Well, first of all, it's a David and Goliath task. There's no question about that. The alcohol industry is mammoth, and those arguing against it, such as Alcohol Action Ireland and other groups, they are tiny in comparison. So it's a very tricky issue to try to resort. And we know from, if you look at, say, the WHO, who've produced a series of evidence-based recommendations. Actually, they pay a very low recommendation is information and education, because we know that's a very limited utility.
So what is it? Price, availability, hours of sale?
Availability, advertising and marketing, they are really absolutely key. And also where it's sold. For instance, selling alcohol with food is probably a mistake as well. So it's very important. I mean, I think what we have here, and it comes very clearly out of this paper that we published today, is that in fact the alcohol industry is spending vast amounts of money. Actually, it's more than 100 million on advertising and promotion and sponsorship, and it is in contrast, the voices of education and information and advocacy in relation to alcohol are spending, you know, 1% of that, I'd say, on average. And can I just make a couple of comments, really, about just a couple of the points that have been made? The average drinker in Ireland drinks about 20 standard drinks a week. The low risk limits are for alcohol consumption are 11 for women and 17 for men in Irish. The UK units are slightly different. In the UK, they've brought their limits down to 11 for women and 11 for men, with 2 drink alcohol-free days, as was stated there by Mary Ryan. So most people here, on average, the average consumer here drinks about 20 units a week. The low-risk limits in the UK, which are much more evidence-based and modern, our limits are hopelessly out of date in Ireland here, our low-risk limits. So we are drinking roughly twice what the low-risk limits are.
And that's the average.
So we have a terribly harmful situation now in relation to this. And can I make a couple of other points?
Briefly, Frank, yes.
One, it was just said there that, you know, a lot of people were drinking because of the problems in the COVID and unemployment. And all. There's absolutely no problem to which alcohol is the solution. And it's worth thinking about that. And the final thing I'd like to say is that when we look at the alcohol industry, who's the biggest employer in the alcohol industry in Ireland? It's the health service dealing with the downstream consequences of alcohol harm. So it's very important to think about that. The health service is the biggest employer in relation to alcohol in Ireland. And that is paid for by you, by your listeners, by taxpayers.
Frank, thank you very much. This is Professor Frank Murray, who is Chairman of Alcohol Action Ireland, and before him was Dr. Mary Ryan, who is a Consultant Endocrinologist and Senior Lecturer in the Bonsecours Barrington's Hospital in Limerick.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
It's game time. And if you've got a hunch about this NBA season, you could turn it into a big win on FanDuel. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win.
Ooh, that guy's hotter than a microwave burrito.
Now that's a red-hot hunch.
21 plus and present in Ohio. Must be first online real money wager. $5 deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.